Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. Yes, we're back. It's been a long time. I know you miss me. But, you know, things happen and, you know, let's forget about that and start the show. Today I have with me Kyle from Geek Tragedy Podcast. I've been on his podcast like, I don't know, 3-4 times. He introduced me to Birdemic. I still haven't forgiven him for it. What do you have to say for yourself, sir?
So, how would you like to watch After Last Season later?
I don't know what that is, and I don't trust you anymore. And we have Brown Coat Lisa. I think maybe you might like Firefly, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Just a little?
I'll never forgive Fox.
I won't either. I mean, Dollhouse did not do it. I mean, Fringe, okay. You know, I let him slide, but...
Oh, there's you could do a whole show on great shows that Fox has canceled.
And yet J.J. Abrams is going with Fox for his next project.
Isn't it going to be another spy film? Boring. Or spy?
No, it's going to be another TV series.
I mean, another spy TV series, right? Wasn't it? Is it about spies or what is it about?
It's called Alcatraz. And I don't know what it's about.
That may not be about spies. No.
Oh, by the way, someone had revenge on me for the whole Birdemic thing.
What was it? Was it sweet?
Our old friend Smart Bunny is involved in something where, you know, people sit around and make fun of bad movies. And she finally broke me with a movie that even I couldn't stand. she got her revenge, making me watch Insane Clown Posse in Big Money Rustlers.
Wow, that sounds bad.
Well, and I believe we're also going to talk about one that I got you to watch.
What was that?
Brown Coat Redemption.
Yeah, let's start with that. Well, okay, I saw the trailer for it, and, you know, they're brown coats, and they're fan enthusiasts, so regardless if it's good or bad, I want to support them, you know? But let's hear some reviews of people who actually saw the thing.
You know, I'm not a huge Family Guy fan, but there's this one line from a Family Guy episode where somebody, I think it's Brian, is talking to someone and says, you know, I'd give you an A for effort, but this isn't UC Santa Cruz.
Wow.
That's kind of how I felt about Brown Coat Redemption.
That's harsh.
Lisa, what have you got to say?
Do any of you know any of the people from... this project?
No, but I actually have it on DVD. I actually mine went to what was it, Dragon Con?
Yeah, it had to be, because I think that's where it premiered.
Friend of mine went there and he said, do you want me to pick one up for you? And I said, sure. And it's actually autographed by two of the actors.
Oh, goody.
Because my attitude was very similar to what you said. You know, whether it's good or bad, I want to support fans making movies. So I said, sure, get me one. And the autographs were a little bit of a surprise, but a nice surprise.
So what was it about the film that was A for effort? Doesn't even get an A for effort. Did it have a story? What was it like?
There were some interesting parts to the story, but yeah, it was not written by DC Fontana.
Well, did it have a plot? Did it have special effects? Were the actors, what was the story even good? Or maybe actors good and not the story, or the story not the actors? Or
I wouldn't exactly call the people who appeared in it actors, per se.
That's an insult to the actor community everywhere, right?
Oh, wow.
Steal a line from Firefly myself. What was the insult to the psychotic low-life community?
That's pretty bad. Well,
and you know, here's the thing. I've had a lot of fanfic pushed on me in my day with people saying, here, read this. And most of it's pretty terrible because people understand enough about the thing they like to appreciate it, but not enough to create it. And when they try and create it, it almost comes across like they just didn't quite get what made it cool in the first place. And I can see what these people were trying to do, but it just, no,
And they
no.
were trying. I mean, you could tell they were trying. It's not like, oh, this is just a half-ass try. You know, they were definitely trying.
Well, that's unfortunate, but I don't know.
Continuity issues. They brought at least three characters back from the dead,
Oh, wow.
including Fanti and Mingo.
Oh, the two characters that died in Serenity. But it's funny because I told the friend of mine who went to Dragon Con, I said, there's one person in there whose acting I thought was pretty decent, and that was the pilot. And he said, I think she's the only one who's actually an actor.
Oh.
She's actually from like New York or something, and she flew in to act in it.
That always, because you always feel a little arrogant. You think, I can act better than that, but I've never done it because I know better. Yeah. I don't know.
They brought Niska back from the dead.
Oh, okay. In a great fashion or very
Well,
non-ish.
wait a minute. Niska wasn't dead. Remember, it's like the only mistake you made, Captain, was not killing that whatever. And he's I'm kind of thinking bad on that myself or something like that.
I thought they shot him at the end of War Stories.
No, he was not dead. They left him for possible other stories. It was something they specifically said. What's her name? Zoe said to the captain, the one mistake you made was you didn't kill him. And he says, I'm regretting that myself or something like that.
I thought she said that about him letting him go in the train job.
No. They didn't see him at the end of the train job.
Oh, well.
Now we're going to review all the
Yeah.
episodes later.
That could get interesting. Well, Brown Code Redemption. I'm glad they did it. It seemed like it was a big hype thing and a big community project. Maybe they had more fun on it and they, made friends for life and something like that. And maybe it wasn't about the movie, it was about the experience. So we're
Well,
going to imagine.
if you saw the Star Trek New Voyages, they started out pretty hokey too. They got a little better the last few. Plus, they
I thought
got
they were
some
pretty
people
good. I like
fellows.
them.
Yeah, exactly. But the first one was a little hokey. You could tell it was done in somebody's garage kind of thing, So
Exactly.
maybe this will go the same way if they get enough encouragement on the first one. And I'm afraid if one of them hears this, that I might sound not encouraging, but it's like, hey, it was an effort. It was a good try. It failed the first time, but I'm willing to give them a second shot.
Okay. Well, maybe, because these things cost a lot of money, so who knows if they have money to put on such a big production, because I think they put a lot of money into it.
And they said all the money they took in was going straight to charity.
Okay, well, maybe it was just something fun that friends did, and that was that. Well, good luck, guys. Maybe, we'll get to see something else cool from you, Brown Coast Redemptions. We don't want to be too negative on you, but yeah. If Brown Coat Lisa says, give it another try, maybe you should.
My attitude is if you're a Firefly fan, you might want to see it out of curiosity, but don't show it to your friends and try to sell them on Firefly with this.
Ooh.
Oh, Lisa, what was that you and I were calling it? Birdemic Coats Redemption?
It can't be that bad because Birdemic was awful.
I wasn't going to say that, but.
Okay, let's go with something else we've all seen. Well, I didn't see Brown Coast, but Sherlock.
Yes.
Kyle, you
Yes.
saw that? I thought the first one felt like a movie. It was very good. It had a lot of energy. I love the use of technology, the use of color. And then the second and third episodes, I kind of fell asleep.
No, it held me through all of them. I will say that I think the thing that really holds it together is the two performances. I mean, it's not that Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law didn't do a great job with theirs, but this, and in case anyone hasn't seen it, this is a modernization of the Sherlock Holmes story set in modern day London. The two leads, Holmes and Watson, who let's see, what's the poor guy's name is
Oh, the actors' names? Yeah, I don't.
The guy that
Benedict
plays.
Cumberbatch
Oh, good Lord. That's
is the guy playing Holmes, and Watson is named Martin Freeman. But they
Yeah, that's the
do.
guy who played in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. He was Arthur Dent.
Oh, in the
Who,
movie. Okay.
Martin Freeman?
Yeah, whoever Watson is that his name? It
Yes.
was Arthur
Watson.
Dent. Yeah. So, well, I like the use of the cell phone. Then it got kind of tedious towards the second episode. And I got to tell you, I've only seen, I'm ashamed here. My only first memory of ever seeing Sherlock Holmes was on Star Trek: The Next Generation. And so I've never seen Moriarty, and I can't pronounce it either. Well, did they show him? He was like a hologram or something. Okay, let's
I
not
didn't
do
miss one.
TNG.
Oh, yeah, oh, in TNG,
Yeah, he was the
yeah.
hologram, then they put
Oh.
him in the little thing and he couldn't get out. Yeah.
Yeah, Data was playing Sherlock Holmes, and
Yeah.
Moriarty was, I can't remember the actor's name, but he was good. I really liked
Yeah,
him.
that's I was getting ready to say, well, I've never seen Moriarty before, and then I remember that. But usually like in the movie with you just said it, Kyle. Robert Downey
Downey Jr.
Jr., they didn't show Moriarty. He was just, a phantom. And a lot of when they portray Sherlock Holmes, you never see the guy. And we got to see him in this new I guess reimagining of Sherlock, and I was kind of disappointed in him. He was like the master for David Tennant's doctor, just some guy wearing a hoodie talking crap, and it I don't know.
Well, that both of the all I saw two of them. I didn't see the third one yet, but both of them really
I'm
captured me.
sorry. I'm
I
sorry.
sorry.
I'm sorry. I spoiled it for you then.
Oh no, it's okay. That's okay. I wasn't listening, so that's okay.
Okay, well, great. That's what people tell me
And
when I talk. They don't listen.
but I just love Sherlock's character because he was such a oh, what would you call it?
Doctor Who? That's
Yeah.
exactly what I just said,
He was
Doctor
kind of
Who.
almost like an Asperger's
Yeah.
guy with Asperger's. He just can't really identify with other people, but because he's so much, in a lot of ways, he's so much smarter than everybody else, and he thinks in a different way. And I
What was
just
that line in
love that
someone?
interaction.
Someone calls him a psychopath, and he says, "I'm not a psychopath. I'm a
So, oh,
high-functioning sociopath."
yeah.
What was it? No, he said it later on. What was amazing was when he said, "I'm not a psych," or they said he's a psychopath, and I said, "More like a sociopath to me." And then 2 minutes later, he says that. I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Oh my God."
That was great. Yeah, I think he's good, but it just felt like a combination of David Tennant and Matt Smith to me, and I was a little bored. So I guess I'm the only person that was bored.
I can see why you would say that.
Yeah. But Kyle, any more on Sherlock? How'd you feel? Do you disagree, highly disagree and offended with my
I do disagree with it. I'm probably one of the few people out there who loves Sherlock Holmes who has actually read the books, because for some reason people don't do that because there's so many movie versions available. But I was impressed by how true to the, I mean, obviously it's an updating of them, but in other ways, how true to the books they were,
That's
how
interesting.
true to the books, the characterizations were, especially Watson, who was the narrator of the books and very important in them, and just sort of becomes Robin to Holmes's Batman in so many of the movie or TV versions. But I thought it was great stuff. And yes, I will admit that within 5 minutes of seeing Cumberbatch play Holmes, I thought, boy, this guy'd make a great doctor.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But written by Stephen Moffat, of course, who's the same guy who did Jekyll and is doing this season of Doctor
Love
Who.
Jekyll. Love Jekyll.
Oh, Jekyll was wonderful.
It
Yep.
was amazing.
It's funny. I just realized something. Holmes, I just realized he reminds me of something we were talking about earlier when we were getting ready to start the show. He reminds me a little bit of Sheldon.
Ah, yeah. I'd see that. Yeah, they're
But
both.
same kind of social interactions.
Do you think it has staying power, Sherlock?
I think they've already announced a second season of it, haven't
They
they?
have,
What do you mean
yeah.
second season? That was like three episodes. It's got,
That was season one.
Man,
yeah,
those
the
British
problem
piss me off with that crap.
That's British shows. They do however many episodes they want, and that's a, well, not a season, a series.
Yeah.
They call
well,
it
they
series, right?
The way I had heard the story is that each episode was so expensive to produce, they could only do three a season.
Wow.
They didn't do anything but walk around and talk. I'm kidding. They did a lot of stuff. They did a lot
yeah.
of stuff. The visuals were just... it was so pleasing to the eye, the first... I don't know. Maybe Sherlock is such a smartass that he ticks me off a little bit. But I guess that's the normal layperson's response to him. So maybe I'm responding well.
Yeah. Maybe he's supposed to annoy you.
He has succeeded.
But I think it's way better than some of the shows they're on right now, like The Event or anything. But
Oh, geez. That's yeah. right. The Event.
Yeah. Let me bring in Alex.
Hello.
Ah, there we go.
Alex?
Yes.
Hello. What's
Hi,
going on?
Hi. How's everybody doing?
We're great. We were just talking. You have Lisa, Browncoat Lisa.
Hello.
There's
Hello.
Alex. And then you have Kyle.
Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
Kyle, silly Kyle, is from the Geek Tragedy podcast. And so I know these guys from online. Kyle, I still haven't forgiven him for introducing me to, what is this movie called? Birdemic.
Subjecting you to is a better term.
Yeah, subjecting me to Birdemic. So never watch that movie, Alex. Never.
It's not ingrained in my head now.
I'm telling you.
Not if you
not
value
joking.
Brain
not
cells.
Okay. What do we want to go next? We want to go... Let's go Hawaii so 5-0. Dun, 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 dun. Come on. Nobody's excited about... The theme song was so exciting. We have the guy from... what's that vampire show? Moonlight. He's the guy. He's the head guy now. We have one guy from... Entourage. He's from Entourage.
Ooh, Scott Kahn?
Yeah, I don't. Dano.
Watch the Blues.
Yeah, he's James Kahn's son.
That makes sense now. I see it. We have Daniel Day Kim from Lost, and I don't forgot her name. Sharon from BSG. Oh, her Park.
Grace Park.
Grace Park. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. I'm stumbling around. Okay, Kyle, let's go with you first. Y5O.
I was very impressed.
Why?
You know, generally remakes suck. And I really was not expecting a lot out of this. It felt a little bit rushed because it's, you know, it's a first episode, and I know that they have a lot they've got to cram into an hour's worth of television. But generally... I was impressed with the performances. The show kept along at a good pace. And, you know, I have to say, I was never a huge fan of the original Hawaii 5-0 because it felt just... It was always too procedural. I mean, they really never developed any of the characters. And, you know, you never really cared about them beyond just sort of seeing the case of the week. But you got a little bit more attached to these guys right off the bat. Got to know their personalities. And you know, I like them, and I'm in.
All right, Alex, what are you thinking about Hawaii 5-0? You agree with Kyle?
I liked the very beginning. It got me involved in it right away. I did recognize the guy from Moonlight as being the main character.
Did you think he could pull it off? Because I was scared when I first saw him.
Well, I never saw Moonlight.
It was bad.
Never saw Moonlight.
It was awful.
Based on his character, the very beginning, I knew he was going to be able to play it. And then whenever he interacted in the scenes with his father, which was played like by William Sadler, and that was good because I kept on thinking about him, like from Die Hard 2. So, and then it moved on, and then James Marsters had like about, what, two or three lines.
But it's James Marsters. Come on. Woo.
So
I love that guy. Lisa?
I actually haven't seen Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, okay.
I used to love the original in reruns, and I was almost afraid to watch it. If you know what I mean, because I felt like it would have had too much to live up to. But you guys are kind of selling me on it, maybe going back and trying to find the first episode or two.
I don't really remember anything from Hawaii Five-0 except for I really love the theme song. And as long as they had that, remake is good to me because I didn't know anything in the first place.
Hey, whenever people ask me, what was the first music video I ever saw? I say the theme, the opening of Hawaii Five-0.
I think you'd like it.
Have you ever seen the Brian Setzer version of that?
No.
No.
Look on YouTube. it's there.
You'll have to send us links.
Yeah. We'll put the links in the show notes because that sounds interesting. I don't know. Hawaii Five-0, I think it came out really strong to me. I didn't think it had too much in the first episode. I'm glad it had all that it did because it overwhelmed you but kept you engaged at the same time. I like the way, you know, the two partners go back and forth and they kind of fight. It's kind of, you know, they're kind of like a couple. And I'm interested in that. Also, I'm just afraid that it's kind of gonna, you know, fizzle out a little bit.
I don't know. I thought they really did a good job at establishing the relationship between the two. And I think there's a lot to kind of mine there.
But are we going to get bored?
You know, it's hard to tell whether a show's going to be able to keep up its energy. I mean, you have some that do. I mean, the original Hawaii Five-0 ran for 12 years.
Gee, good night.
In 1968 to 1980. Wow. And Magnum P.I. ran 1980
to 1988. Oh, God, I hope they don't remake that.
Well, there's no reason to remake that. Magnum P.I. was perfect the way it was.
Well, there's no reason to remake 5-0, I don't think, but, you know. Hey.
They're going to remake the Monsters.
Yeah, I just heard that.
Yeah,
the Monsters?
The Monsters, yes.
Wow.
I heard of Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman? I hope she doesn't have pants.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Buying of the new Wonder Woman costume?
Oh, that costume is miserable. Oh,
it's terrible.
And we're women and we think it's awful.
Yeah. I think they went with what they went to try to some degree to address what women might be offended by. But boy, that's just
nobody's offended at the Wonder Woman costume. No one.
Yeah.
I'm not.
True.
I like it. And, you know, good on the woman that can wear it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and that's why that plane was invisible, too. So they can see her in that outfit. But OK, Big Bang Theory. Alex, what are you thinking about this new season?
The new season?
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to get by the episodes where Kelly Kuoku is going to be out because of her little injured ankle. But
oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But it hasn't lost a beat with the first episode where Maya Bialik was on it. That was hilarious because it's like Sheldon was dating himself.
Yeah. I hope they never breed because, wow, that's going to be terrible. Either the child's going to be really smart or really retarded. I don't know. But this latest episode with the, what did they call it?
Oh, don't know, but Steve Wozniak knew what it was called.
Yeah. Personal.
Oh, his virtual presence machine.
Yeah,
device.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, virtual presence machine. That thing was clunky and ugly and weird.
I love when he's in the, what's his name? Leonard's in the bedroom trying to talk to Sheldon. That's not me. This is me over here.
I'm glad I don't know anyone like that. That would be frustrating as hell. I guess friends, you know. Kyle, what do you think about Big Bang Theory? Do you think?
Never seen it.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, sorry. Why? Why haven't you watched it? Doesn't appeal to you? Don't have time?
Meh.
Meh.
Man.
Yeah.
It's all sorts of geeky in jokes. It's really good. No?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
The terrible thing for me is when I'm watching that show and Sheldon, just before he does something, I go, oh my God, I know what he's going to do. And I feel ashamed that I know what he's going to do.
I don't know. I'm not sure why this show is such a success. It is way too geeky for it to be as popular as it is. Any guesses? Alex, Lisa. Well,
I think it's got geeky people in it, but it's also got non-geeky people in it. And then you got, of course, Leonard right in the middle between them. Yeah. And that way you've got somebody to identify with, and you can... It's really interesting, because I've known people who identify with almost on the Sheldon side, and other people who identify almost completely on the Penny side, and they both like the show.
Yeah.
It was sandwiched in between, you know, two good shows on CBS, and people just don't know how to turn the channel. It's just like everybody in.
Oh, that's a sad reason for a show.
I know, really.
That happens.
I think it's pretty funny, too. It's really hilarious. Bazinga!
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Shat, my dad says.
Yeah. So, who else has seen this beyond me?
I saw the first episode.
If you have an appreciation for Shatnerificness, this is definitely for you, because it's Shat being Shat.
Yeah, that's kind of really all you can say about it. It's like the first 15 minutes of it, I was not sold. It was not funny. Laugh track was too loud. But like the second half of the first episode, I laughed a little bit. It was genuine. Yeah. It was genuine.
Yeah, the first episode, the very beginning didn't really catch me until the end. The end got funny.
Yeah.
But it didn't catch me at the beginning. But I gave it a shot the second week, and it made me laugh, so. And like you said, you haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to ruin anything.
No, you said something about spaghetti. What was this about? Lisa, did you see this one, too?
You know, I didn't realize I'd seen it until Kyle said Shatner, and it's like, oh, my God, I think I saw the end of that show.
Oh.
Just last night or the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I could see it might be funny. I didn't see enough of it to really judge it, but the parts I saw were the spaghetti part at the end was quite funny.
Yes.
Okay, well, I have it DVR'd, so I guess I'll watch that. Okay, what else?
Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, Kyle, you have to sell me on why I should watch this Boardwalk Empire.
All right. You know, I will fully admit that there is a certain degree to which this is The Sopranos 1920s edition.
Oh, see, I didn't like The Sopranos.
Then I may not be able to sell it to you. But it was still good stuff. Especially, you know, the performances are fantastic. You know, if you saw The Sopranos, you kind of get the idea, okay, the whole organized crime thing. But it still really does grab you. It kept going at a great pace all the way through. You know, there were a couple places where where the first episode did have some first episode-itis. You know, there's a lot on the agenda, and, you know, yeah, there were parts where it sort of felt like it was going off the track a little bit too.
Like how? Why? Why? What exactly?
Well, just like Hawaii Five-O, you know, there's a lot to do the first episode. You got to introduce all the characters. You know, you got to establish them. You know, okay, you know, that'll always take you a little off track. But I was riveted by the performances. Buscemi is great. Whoever they've got, and I don't remember his name, playing the young Al Capone is fantastic, too. There's definitely use some caution, because there's one scene that gets a little bloodier than you would see on network TV. But I thought it had tremendous production values, and just I thought it was great. I'm going to keep watching.
Anybody else seen Boardwalk Empire?
I haven't seen it, but I'd be curious about it, because I practically grew up in Atlantic City.
Alex?
I haven't seen it, but I have tons of friends that tell me to do it.
Yeah, you have tons of friends that tell you to watch The Sopranos, tons of friends tell you to watch Mad Men. They all have great costuming, which I really want to see, but I'll just look at the pictures after the episode. I don't want to commit to anything. It just seems like you really have to get involved with something like that. And I know it's good. And is there? It's supposed to be accurate historically, Kyle, or just
basically, it's a dramatization of the real guy who ran the political machine / organized crime in Atlantic City in the 20s.
Okay.
So it's you know, mostly accurate but fictionalized.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't have lasers in it, so...
Yeah, if it doesn't have aliens or nerds or robots or space, wow. Like, why would anybody want to watch anything like that?
Mm-hmm. that's too much like real life.
Yeah, why did you want to do that? Does anybody else watch Smallville or Vampire Diaries?
I watch Smallville.
Well, I know you do, Alex, but Lisa or Kyle, do you... It's comic books, Kyle. Come on.
Not I.
Well, you know,
I saw a couple episodes of Smallville years ago, but never got into it.
Well, there's some good stuff happening. We're not going to spoil you, Alex. I'm going to have you on again so we can talk in depth, because there's some lot of stuff that I want to talk to you about Smallville, because I'm really excited about this season. But we won't bore them. Okay, one more thing that I want to talk about before I let you guys go, unless we want to talk about something like Zombie High School of the Dead or something like that. No. Oh. The Event. Anybody watch that?
I did.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let you guys talk about why you like or dislike The Event. Let's go with Alex first.
I just started watching it because I went ahead and DVR'd both of them. I just watched them on Thursday. I saw the first episode. I just got into it because I knew Jason Rivers was going to be in it, and I just following him from his father, because genre was Jack Tripper, and Jason Ritter kind of looks like him, so... I got into it whenever the father was telling him, you know, be okay, because he actually went to this girl he's dating's father, and the father went ahead and gave him his blessing. It's like a whole bunch of conspiracy information.
Mm-hmm.
First episode kind of jumped back and forth between a whole bunch of different characters. I didn't understand the end of the first episode, but... It kept me riveted enough to watch the second one, so...
What was the second one like?
Second one was... Like, after... I'm not sure if what happened at the end of the first is considered the event. But, it kind of took place right after it. And it's telling you where all the displaced people or kidnapped people went and so on. And how the... I guess the aide was talking to the president, Blair Underwood, which who's playing the president,
mm-hmm.
And was explaining everything to him. And there was this guy that was in Heroes. Ivan Zelchko? He's in it too, so.
Which was he? Who was he in Heroes?
Who was he? He was...
what did he do?
He was the HRG's guy near the end, the bald guy. He was the person where HRG was following near the second to last season.
Mm. Oh, okay. I'm thinking about something. Whatever. I forget. I thought he wasn't the kind of cop guy, no?
Near the end, yes.
Okay. Well, then that's who I thought it was then. Okay, cool. Yeah. Lisa, how about you and The Event?
It's an interesting show. I don't know if it was in a preview or something, but I had seen the shot that ended the first episode. And the first thing that went through my mind was time travel. And as soon as that goes through my mind, I have to watch a show. Time travel is my science fiction wet dream, whatever you want to call it. If it's about time travel, I usually like it. I don't think it is, but... That's what hooked me originally to watch the first episode.
You thought time travel and not teleporter?
No, exactly.
Mm.
And, it looked like a wormhole kind of thing. Maybe I've watched Doctor Who too many times. But
or sliders.
There you go. Sliders. Yeah. Got to say it that way.
Sliders.
Anyway, I watched it, and yeah, the first one got me hooked enough to try to watch, to figure, let me watch the second one. And it's kind of, there's enough gee, what just happened to keep me going for the next one so far? Mm-hmm. And I think they, one of the things I heard is every time you think what you just saw was the event, you're probably wrong. That was one of the things I heard in the previews or something. And I don't know. It's just an interesting show so far. The only thing that's screwing me up a little is they do a lot of, you know, switching scenes. And then it says 6 months ago, 3 years ago, 2 months ago. So knowing when we're in the present and when we're some time ago, they do a lot of back and forth switching, which gets a little confusing sometimes.
So y'all don't, either one of you don't feel jerked around? Like
just that,
you're
just that part.
Snake oil, sleight of hand.
Not yet.
I don't see any of that yet.
Well, I've watched, have you, did you guys, well, I know, Alex, you just mentioned Heroes. Lisa, did you watch Heroes, Kyle?
I did not.
Okay, you didn't watch Heroes. Did any of you watch 24?
Yes.
Yes.
No, Kyle. No. Okay. Lost.
No.
I watched Lost.
The whole thing?
Yeah, all 6 seasons.
Okay. Ooh, okay, good. 4400.
No.
No.
I saw first season.
Flash forward.
I did.
No.
To the end, Alex?
Yes.
Jeez, you're just as tortured. See, then I'm surprised, Alex, that you would fall for the event. If you watch Lost and you watch Flash Forward, that's what an event feels like to me. This show, from the first episode, it just really upset me because it was so blatantly trying to be Lost with the flashbacks, with the weird timeline that they were trying to get, with the you know, mystery and the, you know, weird sci-fi twist at the end. It's just like they were really trying to throw anything they could in there, and you know, all I could see is at the end of this series 6 years later that all these people were going to be dead or in purgatory, and I was already pissed. I was pre-pissed at this.
Well, maybe they're picking up the people who didn't get hooked on Lost.
Maybe, because I know there's just a lot of people that really like yell at me, can't give it a chance, and no, I'm not going to be jerked around like this again. I'm not going to be hurt again. I'm jilted, damn it. Mm-hmm. Any response to that? Do you think I'm overreacting? Do you think I'm too invested? I mean,
you need some recovery time.
Maybe I need some meds.
That's what I was thinking. Whenever. And about the meds.
I don't know.
Maybe you just need another TV series that'll treat you right first, and then you can go back to something like the event.
Yeah. Yeah, bring me flowers or something. I don't know.
Then you'll fall back into old familiar patterns. You know how it goes.
I won't do it this time, I swear. Okay, well, guys, unless there's anything you want to bring up.
Has anybody been watching The IT Crowd, the new season?
Yes, yes.
I think, what? How far have I gotten, Kyle, based on what I told you the last thing that I watched?
First episode of season 4.
How many episodes in season 4?
6.
Oh, okay, so that's not that bad. I can do that in, like, an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are 30 minutes each.
This, by the way, The IT Crowd, consistently probably the funniest show on TV in the English language anywhere. At very least for the past two seasons.
It is very funny.
It is.
It's on the same level as Big Bang Theory, in my opinion. I would say they're the same. No. You can't really say that they're the same show, but they have this. Okay, I'm just going to leave that alone. But
I was very impressed by the props on the set, I think, in season 4.
Oh, they're not in the office anymore or something?
They are, but they have a lot more props. I think there's if I recall, there's an IMSI 8080 or an Altair 8800 behind Moss. I noticed that right away, and they have a whole bunch of O'Reilly books on the shelves, and it's very Silicon Valley IT type setting. They
so
did a really
adorable.
Good job at that.
So adorable. Well, what's going on this season? What are they doing, Kyle?
Let's see. Moss goes on a game show. Roy gets kissed on his butt by a massage therapist.
Wow.
Renum joins Scientology.
What?
And his wife comes back, right?
What?
Yes, and Moss gets arrested.
Well, at least there's no public nudity, so. That was like last season or something. Or no, somebody pretended to be handicapped or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was ridiculous. God, that was so... That was really funny.
So, you know, every time I watch IT Crowd, I can't help but think again about FAQ about time travel.
Oh, that was a great movie.
It was a good movie. Have you seen that?
No, I never even heard of it. I'm writing a note.
The one guy, not Moss, the other guy is Roy. Like the star. Roy is the star of that movie.
Yeah, it stars at least two of them I can remember. Roy from the IT Crowd and the guy who played Sully the werewolf in Being Human.
Being Human. Tell me about this, because we're going to have an Americanized version.
Great show. Great show.
Yeah, but is the Americanized version going to be a great show?
Probably not.
Like anything else, there's very few of them that, All in the Family was originally a British show, but if you look at Red Dwarf, if you ever saw the Red Dwarf pilot in the U.S., oh, that was terrible.
Oh, there was a U.S. Red Dwarf?
There was a pilot made.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll dig that up and let you see it. It was,
painful from the sounds of
the
it.
The only good thing about it was the person they got from Holly, they actually got Jane Leaves, so Daphne from Frasier.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Version of Holly, but other than that, it was horrendously bad.
And she had one of the two lines in the show that I thought were good. The one was when Crichton says to Lister, and I'm going to give it away here, but he says to Lister, "Oh, you're from Earth? Do you know Bob Johnson?" Which I thought was a good line. And obviously, it doesn't go over big with me telling it.
Well,
but the one where Holly's shorting out, and every time there's a spark, she jumps and goes, "Ow!" And then one of them, she goes, "Actually, that one felt kind of good." Only two funny lines in the entire episode, I thought.
Wow, and you remember them like it was yesterday or something.
Because they stuck out like a sore thumb because they were good lines.
Wow.
By the way, you know what else I've been watching is another BBC sci-fi show from a few years ago called Hyperdrive. Has anybody else here seen it?
I've heard
of it. Is that a sci-fi show or a comedy show?
It's a sci-fi comedy.
Okay.
It's got,
how was that?
It stars Nick Frost, who's the other half of the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost duo from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. And basically, he's captain of a spaceship of the neo-British Empire years from now, going around trying to keep relations good with all the different alien races. And I'll warn anyone who wants to see it, the first episode is not really that good. So, if you want to, just skip straight ahead to the second episode. But once you get going on it, it's really quite good.
How old is it? How many seasons or episodes, series, whatever? How long is it?
2006, and it ran for two seasons.
Oh, so it's gone now.
So it's gone now. But
I saw episode one, and I didn't get past that. I still have them. I might go back and try and catch up.
It's like True Blood. You got to make it through the first four episodes before you like it.
Yeah, honestly, I will be the first to admit episode one was not great, but do go to episode two and at least try that one out.
Since you're watching...
Go ahead, sorry.
No.
Episode one felt like the humor level of Quark. The old Richard Benjamin sci-fi comedy show that you might find in somewhere.
No.
God knows where.
No. Since you're talking about BBC kind of sci-fi stuff, do any of you watch Merlin?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Alex, you watch Merlin?
No.
Oh, okay. It's good.
Season three just started.
I know, and I love it. The latest episode was... I don't like belch fart humor at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But because these people are, all British and proper or whatever, and it was just a really fun episode to... see them kind of, you know, really be really silly like that. I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but I'm a watcher of like Xena and Legend of the Seeker and stuff like that. None of those things are on anymore. So all we have is Merlin. So I love it. It's my fantasy show that I go to that makes me a little happy. And
I really like the guy who plays Gaius. I really like
him. Oh, gosh, he's hilarious.
Yep, he's a good actor and fun part, too.
Did you see him in Demons?
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm.
Have you guys heard of Demons?
Mm-mm.
The actual thing, not the...
Okay, Demons, now, you all have seen the British version of Life on Mars, correct?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Alex?
Yes.
Thought you were going to be with me on that.
No. You have to see the original British.
Yeah, but it does. It's a change because it's all
times
kind of
better.
But it's all life on Mars. But they're not on Mars, and that upsets me.
No.
I want it to
no.
be in outer space.
No, this is a fantastic TV show. In fact, I will say that it is the best British TV show of the past decade. Hands
Shut
down.
Your mouth. Wow.
I wouldn't go that far, but it was good. It
was good. Lisa said, mm-mm, shut it down. It's not the best one. What's your best British? Doctor Who?
Yeah, I think it
Seriously?
Would be.
Seriously? Wow, mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd put the Doctor a close second, depending on the season. Although Jekyll would have to be close, too.
Jekyll,
was good.
Man, that was good. Did you see Jekyll, Alex?
Yes, because for some reason, after Doctor Who shows on BBC America, I usually tape record whatever's afterwards. So, whenever they premiered the one about the werewolf,
mm-hmm.
The ghost, and the vampire.
Yeah, being human.
Being human. Yeah, I started watching that after Doctor Who. So, mm-hmm. Yes, but I like Doctor Who. I won't tell you because I have like 4 costumes already. So.
Oh, so you really like Doctor Who?
Hey, I went to Dragon Con. I have pictures.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, you did. You showed me the pictures. I think you got a picture with
Colin Ferguson.
Yes.
Sure.
Is he the sheriff?
Yeah, yes. The sheriff.
Oh, cool. I love that
sheriff. I didn't
see
any of your other ones because, you know, I didn't see. Well, you didn't point them out to me because that one you sent directly to me.
Yeah, I sent that one directly to
you.
So
I'll just have to stalk in your photos and, you know, look. And do you have your dragon photos of con photos up?
I have my, yeah. They're on my Facebook.
Okay. I'll check it out. Because cool. I think I don't like going to the conventions. I think I like looking at other people going to conventions, which is weird, right?
A little bit. Yeah.
Thank
you're a
fan, you.
You're a fan of fans?
Yeah, no, weird.
So you were at Dragon Con. Did you get subjected to Brown Coat Redemption? We talked about that earlier.
I heard about it, but it was at the West End. I thought it was far away, so I didn't walk.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of being human, I finally realized why the premise sounded familiar when I first heard it. Because, you know, I have to... You know, have you ever seen something that sounds like it has a really, really cool premise, and then when you actually watch it, it sucks?
The Event.
Yeah, many times.
To me, being human is like the opposite of that. The premise sounded like the stupidest thing I ever heard in my whole life, but then when I saw the actual show, it was really good.
That's why I haven't watched it then, because people describe it or I see a commercial, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good on paper. I don't think I can do it.
Well, I realized what it sounded like. It's Groovy Ghoulies.
Okay, I don't know what that is, and I'm kind of glad.
I thought of it as a horror version of Three's Company.
What?
Well, it's a werewolf, a vampire, and a ghost who share an apartment together.
All that needs is a laugh track.
But yeah,
can a werewolf, a ghost, and a vampire share an apartment without driving each other crazy?
Da 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 da. Basically, there is no way to make the premise of being human sound good.
They should make that a comedy. 'Cause that...
But
be great.
Well, it kind of is a comedy in parts. There are parts that are definitely comedic.
Mm. Oh man, I'm trying to get rid of TV shows. I'm trying to act some because I still need to watch so many things.
Yeah, I record too many shows. So.
Okay, well, Kyle, anything else you need to get out of your system?
Demons. That's another one you guys should see. Basically, a kind of a British Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but with a boy for the Slayer instead of a girl.
Don't think I can watch that.
Yeah, no,
Just like you can't watch Voyager.
Oh, not many people can.
So
if you miss Voyager, you might as well watch Stargate Universe, because that's what they're doing right now.
So are any of you guys going to the Back to the Future re-release?
They're doing it in the theater? I thought they were just releasing a fancy DVD or Blu-ray.
What's up with you?
They're going to do a theatrical re-release for two nights at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there. Yes. I'm going to be there. And is anybody going to see Star Wars in 3D in the theater whenever that happens?
No.
Yes, you have to put on the glasses. You have to see the Jar Jar come at you in 3D. Oh, come on.
That'll make it a horror movie. Jar Jar in 3D. Oh, no.
I can watch it. I can tolerate Jar Jar because Liam Neeson is just so gorgeous. But, yeah.
They're starting with episode one, right?
Yeah. I think they're starting with episode one, which means nobody's going to see it.
Exactly.
It's going to flop.
I think I agree with what Simon Pegg said on Twitter, that the Phantom Menace in 3D is like getting hit with the car wreck instead of just watching it occur on the screen.
Yeah, I think I'd lose a friend if I like try to take him to see that. I think that's something I'd have to go alone if I really want to see it. And I don't, that pod race is too long for me. It's too long.
By the way, did I ever tell you Dave's experience watching The Phantom Menace?
Did he cry?
No. Fortunately, I missed Phantom Menace in the theater. That was the year that I was living in Japan, so I didn't actually see it there. I ended up seeing it like months later after I came back. But Dave,
you're glad.
Now Dave wanted to see it in like the with the really good sound. And there's one theater around us that's got like the really high quality THX digital sound, and that's the movie theater, the big megaplex down in Jack London Square in the middle of downtown Oakland. So Dave goes down there opening night. You know, midnight.
Stand in line,
gets in, not knowing what to expect.
Poor bastard.
Of course, you know, now Jar Jar comes on the screen, and, you know, he's in the middle of downtown Oakland, and it was one of those uncomfortable moments when you become acutely aware that you are the only white person in the theater. You know, he's scrunching down in his chair, pulling his collar over his face. You know, that was a mighty quick walk to the car after that at 2:00.
I will say, like I've said many times on this podcast, that the first time I saw Phantom Menace, I did not even register Jar Jar. I was just so into Liam Neeson. I mean, I was mesmerized by this guy with his little hair. Because the last time I seen him was in Schindler's List, and I didn't think he'd play anything like, you know, on Star Wars. So everything he did, I just hung on his every word. And then, you know, after I got out and I was ready to talk about how great Star Wars 1 was, people were talking Jar Jar, and I had to see it again just to see Jar Jar. So
when I first heard Jar Jar, I thought he was just done by, his voice was done by the same, I didn't realize when I first saw them that it was Bill Cosby for all of them, but I thought his voice was done by the same person as that one character from Fat Albert.
Oh,
the one who talked.
Oh, that's no. Ooh.
That's what I thought of right away, that he was the, you know, 20 years
it
later.
It didn't register to me at all that. I was just like, I guess I was clueless. I was really clueless. It's good. I'm glad I was clueless because it's pretty painful.
You didn't come out of the theater wanting your 2 hours back.
No, I wanted my Liam Neeson. Wow.
So since I showed it to you two before the show, what'd you think of the Monsters?
Oh, tell us about this. Tell everybody about Monsters, Kyle.
All right. It was done by a British filmmaker on, I think, a $15,000 budget. A new movie, sci-fi slash horror. Essentially, the plot is this. At some point, NASA sends a space probe out into space to go near all the planets in the solar system and come back. And when it comes back, it ends up crash landing in Mexico, but it had some sort of contamination of alien DNA, and not too much longer, these very strange, very large alien monsters start appearing. And both the Mexican and the U.S. military have to try and fight them. And in the middle of this, there is a reporter who is charged with bringing his publisher's daughter back through the middle of the war zone safely to America. And I saw it's a very interesting movie. It's slower paced than it probably sounds.
It's for free. Tell them how we can see it.
It's on iTunes.
Is it for free on iTunes, or is it just on iTunes?
No, it's just on iTunes.
So how much is it, like $1.99 or?
Oh, I forget what I paid for it, but I believe they are going to do a theatrical release. I would still say, you know, do it on iTunes as a rental. It's a good movie to watch, you know, late at night when you want to see something spooky and atmospheric. Not a lot of action in it, but I really quite liked it.
It is kind of, well, I might ruin it by saying that, but I would say as a plus that it can kind of be this year's District 9.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
But I won't say the other one because then people get turned off.
You know, it reminded me a little bit of, and if here's another movie you guys should definitely see if you get the chance to rent it, Pontypool.
Oh, wow.
Has anyone seen that one?
No.
I have it, but I haven't watched it yet.
A very interesting zombie movie where you almost never see the zombies. It's set inside a radio studio with the people there sort of hearing reports of this zombie apocalypse coming in. Really interesting movie. Again, slow-paced, not a lot of action, but it really holds your attention.
Hmm. That's interesting. Maybe. Because sometimes just seeing zombies for the sake of it, it just gets bored. But I won't be bored with this new zombie TV show, The Walking Dead. I'm very excited about that. Alex, are you clapping?
Oh, darn it.
Are you looking forward to that show too?
Oh, Halloween. Come on.
Yes, it is. I might not even go anywhere. Just stay home and watch The Walking Dead. I usually dislike zombies because it's so stressful to watch. Just, you never know who's going to live, who's going to die. It's just, you can't reason with zombies. Well, not in the later films, but, you can reason with zombies in like the one film, right? The one with Night Unlimited in 2 with the love story or something, or the guy pumping gas and they got jobs. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I saw a movie called Diary of the Dead where technically they were zombies, but, you know, they weren't really zombies. They kind of would put flesh tone makeup on and would still be able to go to their jobs.
That is weird. You haven't heard of that one, Kyle?
No, but I do know you can talk reasonably with zombies.
No, you can't.
Sure you go.
You've spoken to some?
That, of course, they say, all we want to do is eat your brains. Let's be reasonable here. I mean, no one's going to eat your eyes.
Of course, nice.
You've all heard what vegetarian zombies say, right?
What?
Grains.
Gross.
Only one person got my Jonathan Coulton reference.
I got it.
Yeah.
Anybody else get it? I got it.
If that's available on Rock Band.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing with my Halloween.
What? Oh, God, what?
there is a Gorillaz concert at the Oakland Coliseum.
Oh.
So I'm going to go see Gorillaz.
Have fun.
And a couple days before that, Riff Trax is doing a Riff Trax Live
yes,
of
I'll be in that one.
House on Haunted Hill.
Yep, ooh. I'll be.
Oh, interesting. Live? What do you mean live?
Well, you go to a theater and they have it all synced up with theaters across the country, and they, you know, do a live Riff Trax, and they give out prizes and stuff like that, and it's pretty fun.
Sounds like they've done more of these. I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, I've seen Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Madness.
I thought there was like one recently. So
a Christmas one? It wasn't that good, though.
The Christmas one, the shorts were actually better than the movie.
And then the end with the cross-dressing,
I didn't get that one.
Yeah, I didn't. So I hope they don't do any more of that. But it's pretty fun, and it's a lot better than I went to my first time Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
I couldn't stay because I just really disliked it immensely.
Are they still doing live showings of that?
Yeah, yes. And it was horrible.
Although they are supplanting them these days with midnight showings of The Room.
Oh, God. Alex, what were you going to say?
They have like a showing like in about 2 weeks down here, so that's Rocky Horror.
Somebody said they were remaking Rocky Horror.
That could be fun, but the people that were hosting it were just, oh God, it was terrible.
Yeah, they have like a lot of showings at that Repo, the Genetic Opera, where they actually have the live theater people doing.
Oh, I hated Repo.
I like Repo.
Although I like Anthony Head a lot, I just couldn't do it.
Even though Paris Hilton's in it, so.
Really, that's what got you in, Alex?
No, Anthony Head, Giles.
He's on Merlin. You not watching that?
No.
Come on, you gotta watch Merlin.
Awesome.
He's in it every week, doing Anthony Stewart Head stuff, whatever that means. Yeah. Okay, guys, I'm getting silly here.
There was another show he was
in. Oh, God, Kyle, we're going to have to end this at some point, dude.
Called The Invisibles. Go and see it.
What is this? Okay. What is that?
Basically, he and Warren Clark, who's a British character actor, play two ex-jewel thieves who hit the big score, you know, 35 years ago.
This doesn't have aliens in it.
No, but they retired, and now at some point in the modern day, they're in their late 50s, and they run out of money, and they have to go back to jewel thieving. And it's a very funny, understated show.
Oh, it's a show, not a movie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And also, everyone go see Let Me In. I saw it last night, and it was really good.
I want to see that.
Has anyone here seen the original?
No.
Well, then it's a good thing they made Let Me In, because it's actually just as good as the original. And after this, I will definitely have my eye on Chloe Moretz, and not in a way that requires the intervention of Chris Hansen.
Okay, because I was scared.
What's wrong with those overseas movies either, because I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, so that was a good movie. And I know they're Americanizing that one, so...
And one more thing, because I know I was trying to end it, but I do want to hear your opinion on The Social Network, Kyle.
I saw it two nights ago, and I'm going to see it again, actually, with Lisa tomorrow.
What? Again? Two times? A movie about Facebook.
It's really that good. If you...
Okay, so this is the guy who did Fight... Is it Fight Club good?
That's the director, and of course it was written by Aaron Sorkin, who created The West Wing.
Yeah, I know, and I love Sorkin. West Wing is one of my favorite shows, and it doesn't have aliens. Well, the one time, but...
Oh, well, it's got some illegal aliens.
But die. Yeah. Okay.
If you like the whole Sorkin style of dialogue, that whole rapid-fire staccato... ultra witty, then you will definitely like The Social Network.
I'm going to have to con somebody into paying, because I refuse to pay my hard-earned money to watch a movie about Facebook. Okay, wait. There's one thing that'll make me go. Is Mark Zuckerberg evil? Is he the bad guy? Is he a shade of gray?
You'd come away not really liking him. The only person who comes out looking really good is Eduardo Saverin, who's the guy who got forced out of Facebook sort of towards the beginning. The one who really, really looks bad is Sean Parker, who's the guy who founded Napster and went on to have a stake in Facebook. Mm. He looks really
bad.
Is
that the guy who's the singer?
You know what? I am really not a fan of Timberlake the singer, but I'm kind of getting down with Timberlake the actor.
I thank you guys for talking with me tonight, you know, bringing Sci-Fi Party Line back to life. Woo! We've been away for 2 months. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you, Browncoat Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, Kyle.
It was fun.
And tell them how to get to your podcast.
npccomics.com/geektragedy.
All right.
Or follow us at GT Podcast on Twitter.
Guys, give us some feedback at 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Message us on facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line. Or go to our website, scifipartyline.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.